The Commanders have been very active in free agency, and I'm going to go over every signing they have made so far next on Command Fan. What's going on, Commanders fans? Welcome back to another episode of Command Fan. I'm your host, Tate Edwards. And in this episode, we are going to be talking about free agency. It's been a very busy last 2 days, and especially for the Commanders, because they've arguably been, or they might actually have made the most signings in the last 48 hours. But yeah, free agency has been hectic for the Commanders, but it's been awesome. It's been awesome to see what Adam Peters is doing, and also Dan Quinn and Joe Witten Jr. and Cliff Kingsbury doing what they do on their side of the ball, on the offense and defensive side, and also special team side too. So yeah, it's been really fun to get all these notifications on your phone, go on Twitter and tweet and look at other people's tweets and see what everyone thinks of the signings. And I've been super excited to do this episode because I love free agency. It's probably one of the best times of the year, I'm not gonna lie, for football. Like, I love free agency. Maybe the draft edges it out in the best off-season event that takes place in the NFL, but it's neck and neck with the draft. I love it so much, and I love like the chaos. I just love the chaos of everyone going everywhere and players just going to new teams, and especially this free agency class, because it's so loaded. Like, so many big names have gone everywhere and in division, out of the conference, and whatever you want. But it's been really cool, and the Commanders haven't signed, you know, huge names, but they've signed a lot of great names that we will get into in a second. But Adam Peters is definitely retooling this team, and I can't remember the exact word he used, but he's going to just fill the team's holes in the draft and go for big time, big potential players in the draft. So Adam Peters has done an amazing job, in my opinion. Obviously, we'll see how that plays out and how they play on the field together as teammates. But Dan Quinn has bought a lot of former Cowboys. Some people on Twitter are calling the Commanders Cowmanders, or the Mander Boys or something like that. I don't like either of them, but it's been funny. So the first signing that the Commanders made was very early in the morning, and I'm actually recording this late tonight at 9:30 my time, because I live in Utah, so it's Mountain Time. But 9:30, because I didn't want to miss any signings. Like, if they made one late in the night, they still could. So we might have breaking news on the pod, but we'll see. But I wanted to film this late because I didn't want to miss any signings later in the day or like midday if they were to make one, which they did. So Dorrance Armstrong was the first signing that the Commanders made. He got a 3-year deal worth up to $45 million with incentives, and he is a defensive end from the Cowboys. Obviously a familiar face for Dan Quinn. That's why he brought him in, and he's also a very good player, a very underrated signing. A lot of the Commanders signings that you'll see me mention are very underrated signings and not huge names, like I said. So Dorrance Armstrong, yeah, 3 years, $45 million, up to $45 million. His stats last year in 2023, he had 38 combined total tackles and 7.5 sacks. And when you have Micah Parsons on your team leading that defensive line the way on the edge rusher and getting 7.5 sacks is pretty damn impressive, if you ask me. And I think he definitely can come here and be the best edge rusher on the team. And double that sack number. Will he do that? No one knows. But Dorrance Armstrong, I do like the signing a lot. He's only 26 years old, and he's been with the Cowboys for the last 2 years. In 2022, he had 8.5 sacks, so he actually got one more sack in 2022. His first year in the league was 2018, so he's been in the league a while. He has 23.5 career sacks, 169 combined tackles. So I do like the signing. That was the first one that Washington made. And then the second one, back-to-back Cowboys players, Tyler, I hope I don't butcher this name, I probably do, but Tyler Biots. I don't really know how exactly he wants me to pronounce it, but he is 26 years old. He's a center, 26 years old, 315 pounds, and he's 6'4", which is a pretty big center if you ask me, as it says here that he's 6'4". So he got a 3-year deal worth up to $30 million, and for a center that just made the Pro Bowl, I get the Pro Bowl is, you know, like filled with players that get opted in the last second, but nonetheless, he made a Pro Bowl and he hit the open market, and we got him for $10 million a year. Like, that's a great signing, and especially for the money as well. I like that signing a lot. We had a hole at the center and on the offensive line, but center was a big hole that we've really yet to fill since Chase Roullier left. And I think hopefully he can fill that void and stay here for more than 3 years. And he's only 26, so he could definitely stay here for a while. And yeah, I like that signing. Another familiar face for, not as familiar, I guess, because he's on the offensive side of the ball for Dan Quinn and Joe Witt, but he will definitely provide stability to the offensive line, mentor any rookies that come in and at the guard position, which I assume we will sign a few or draft a few. And so I like that signing. Just fresh off the Pro Bowl, obviously, arguably his best year that he's ever had. He was actually ranked pretty high as a center out of the centers that were free agents out of Pro Football Focus, PFF. If you guys follow them, they provide great information on free agency and just the whole season. So I suggest that you guys follow them. But he was a very highly rated center that was in this free agency class. So definitely good signing, and they signed another familiar face from Dallas. My favorite, arguably my favorite signing, maybe tied for my favorite signing, is the third signing they made with Frankie Louvu, linebacker from Carolina, the Panthers. He spent his first 3 years with the Jets and then the last 3 years with the Panthers. His deal is 3 years up to $36 million. Some of the guaranteed money on the contracts haven't came out yet, or at least I haven't seen it, so to my knowledge it hasn't came out yet. But $36 million, three-year deal for Frankie Louvu. And on the Grant Danny Show, they had someone on close to the Panthers, and he says it sucks to lose Frankie Louvu. He's a heart and soul of the defense, and he's a very good locker room guy. His teammates love him, and he can really bring together a group of men. So last year he had – so that's really good to say why I brought that up. It's like that's really good from a reporter. I don't really know who the guy was. Obviously, I'm not a Carolina Panthers fan, so I'm not huge in their media, but I don't know. But that's really good to hear because that comes from somewhere, and that's really good. I know, and Frankie Louvu is a great player, so that bodes well for him to have a very good character. And we haven't had a linebacker like him, if you want to say, maybe since London Fletcher. So Frankie Louvu, another underrated signing. A lot of people had him under the radar, weren't talking about him a lot. But last year he had 125 combined tackles and 5.5 sacks. So he's a very good off-ball linebacker, and he can rush the passer. He was actually rated the highest pass rush grade out of a linebacker last year on PFF. And then the year before that, he had 111 combined tackles and 7 sacks and a pick 6. So I'm very, very excited to see Frankie Louvu step into the system as maybe a hybrid type of player like Micah Parsons. Obviously, he's not Micah Parsons, but I think Dan Quinn will be able to use him and Joe Witt. I think they'll be able to evaluate his skill set and use it to their advantage. And I think they're going to really love having their new toy in Frankie Louvu. So, and you've heard great things if you guys go listen to that Grant and Danny interview that they did. That guy just loved Frankie Louvu, really bummed out that the Carolina Panthers did not re-sign him or get him back. So I can't – that's arguably my favorite signing, probably tied with the next one that I'm going to talk about is Austin Ekeler. Two-year deal worth up to $43 million. And his contract is a little more confusing because he has a ton – like everyone listed a lot of incentives on Twitter and also just all the articles I read about his contract. And so I think the first year is around like $3 to $4 million, if I'm not mistaken. And for Austin Ekeler, a lot of people are obviously going to bring up the video about him running down the sideline against Green Bay where it looks like he's going 5 miles an hour, if that. And he was injured last year, and the chemistry and just the organization just was really in shambles, if you're going to ask me, because Brandon Staley, obviously everyone knew that he was going to be out as the head coach there, and he actually got fired in midseason, so it just wasn't a great situation there. I'm not saying that's why he looked like he was running slow, but he was nursing an ankle injury all last year, and his rushing yards were down from the previous year, from 915 in 2022 to 628, and he had, let's see how many... I have his stats pulled up real quick. Oh, he had 51 receptions last year opposed to 107 in 2022. 107 receptions as a running back with 722 yards and 5 touchdowns. That is unheard of. I have never heard of another running back get 107 receptions. That is crazy. So I think it's a very good signing. Like I said, with Frankie Louvitaille for my favorite signing that they've made so far, I think it's a very low risk, very high reward signing with the money that's tied into him. If he doesn't work out, if he gets injured or whatever the case is, like, only tied up $11 million. That's the max he can earn with incentives for a guy like him. Yeah, hell yeah, sign me up. In 22, he had 18 total touchdowns, and in 2023, he had 6 total touchdowns, so a big dip. But like I said, he was injured, and the coaching staff obviously knew that they were going to be out. So 6 total touchdowns and 620 yards is still a good season. Obviously, losing Antonio Gibson influenced this decision even more, because we knew that they were linked to Austin Ekeler even before free agency started. So it sounded like they knew that they were going to move on from Antonio Gibson, who eventually went to the Patriots. So Austin Ekeler is going to fill in for Antonio Gibson, and no, without a question, he's an upgrade over Antonio Gibson. So I can't wait to see him in a Commanders uniform, and as well as all these guys, really. But Austin Ekeler, I'm probably the most excited to see play on the field. So great signing. I love it. Make sure you go follow me on Twitter, because I expressed my gratitude and love for that signing on there as well. And so the second to last signing that they made that night on day one was kicker Brandon McManus. And he has been in the league since 2014, played with the Denver Broncos all the way up until 2022. Last year he spent it with Jacksonville, and now he's signed a one-year deal worth $3.5 million. I don't know if that's fully guaranteed. Again, the guaranteed money didn't come out for him, but it wouldn't shock me if it was. Usually for kickers, I think it is. But Brandon McManus has a huge leg, has struggled a little bit making extra points, so I've heard. I don't have his exact stats pulled up, but through his career, he is 1 of 9 from 60-plus, 44 through 7 for 73 for 50 to 59. So he has about a 81.4 percentage of making kicks in the NFL. So hopefully he just provides stability at a position that we haven't had a long-term answer for. So we'll see how that plays out. It's a one-year deal. So if it's a one-year prove-it deal. So if he wants to prove himself that he can be the kicker for a longer time than 1 year, so sign me up. But yeah, Brandon McManus, one-year deal worth $3.5 million. The last signing that they made on day one was Nick Allegretti, a guard from Kansas City. He is 27 years old. And they signed him to a 3-year deal worth up to $16 million. And again, the guarantee money didn't come out with him, but I think it was the Good Morning Football show, they interviewed him, and he expressed how he wanted to find a new place where he could be one of the leaders of the team. And he says one of the good things about playing offensive line is you can be a great leader of men, and starting helps. So he definitely was looking for a place to start. So I'm assuming he's going to be the starter at left guard, I'm assuming, because right guard is Sam Cosmi. But in the Super Bowl, he filled in for Joe Tooney, who was out with an injury, and he stepped up, and the Chiefs ultimately won the Super Bowl. And he's been spoken very highly of from his teammates, and he's very pumped to be here. He was mainly a backup for his time in Kansas City, but as I said, that he wants to look for a starting role. And so he joined the Commanders and the new staff that they had, and is hoping to compete for a starting role. Maybe could be the starter day one, or come week one. So we will see. But good signing, good depth signing at the very least. And offensive line is arguably one of the biggest, or if not the biggest, need on the team. And they addressed it with Nick Allegretti at guard, and also Tyler Biotis at center. So the day two rolls around, and the first signing that is made is Cleveland Farrell, edge rusher from last year from the 49ers. And everyone's going to talk about how Cleveland Farrell's a bust because he was drafted in the top 5 in 2019. And yes, he was overdrafted. I'm definitely not going to dispute that. But the money that he got, obviously, it has not been disclosed. It's a one-year deal, so it is a one-year prove-it deal. Last year, he spent the year with the 49ers, and as you know, or as I know, that the 49ers have a stacked D-line, one of the best D-lines in the league, if not the best. And last year he came away with 28 combined tackles for 3.5 sacks. So he's definitely going to get more playing time, I would say, here in Washington to up those numbers. And in the when he was with the Raiders from 2019 to 2022, he had 2 sacks in 2022, 1.5 sacks in 21. In 2020, he had 2, and in his rookie year, he had 4.5. So not great. Not great numbers for a guy that they used a top pick on. So he's definitely not lived up to the hype of his draft selection, but a prove it deal with in Washington, where edge was a huge need, and they have found 2 so far that I've mentioned. So he's definitely going to compete for minutes and playing time on the field in Washington due to us trading Chase Young and Montez Sweat. So Cleveland Farrell was the first signing on day 2, and the second signing that was made on day 2 was actually a quarterback, Marcus Mariota from Philadelphia. And he's obviously just going to be a backup. He has backup money. He has a one-year deal worth up to $10 million with $6 million guaranteed. A lot of people have been talking about how us signing Marcus Mariota alludes to us going to draft Jaden Daniels. And I did tweet that out. Maybe Jaden Daniels would be the guy, but I don't really – a lot of people have said no, that is not the case. And I didn't think it was the case either. Just because they signed Marcus Mariota does not mean that they're going to sign draft Jaden Daniels at number 2. Yeah, Marcus Mariota is a similar quarterback to Jaden Daniels. I think Jaden Daniels is way more mobile. Obviously, he's younger, but in the air raid offense that Cliff Kingsbury is probably going to run here, we don't know which quarterback he prefers. If it's Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, or another one, later in the draft, if they want to trade down, but we'll see. So Marcus Mariota definitely going to come in and be the quarterback 2. We will see how that affects Sam Howell, if they trade him, if they keep him, or if they want to roll with Sam Howell and trade down in the draft, or stay at 2 and draft Marvin Harrison Jr. But we will see. Marcus Mariota nonetheless is not going to be the starter, assuming that nothing goes wrong or goes sideways, or they trade back and want to stick with Marcus Mariota instead of Sam Howell. So like the signing, I like the depth signing. I think he could definitely step in for a game or two if the starting quarterback goes down. And Marcus Mariota has proven he can play in this league. Obviously, in 2015, he was a very high overhead drive pick by the Titans. So, and then another signing that they made on day 2, another familiar face, another edge rusher coming over from Dallas, is Dante Fowler Jr. The last 2 years he spent in Dallas with Dan Quinn and Joe Witt. In 2022 with the Cowboys, he had 27 combined tackles and 6 sacks. In 2023, he had 13 combined tackles and 4 sacks. This is one of the signings that I really, really like. He is 29 years old. But I really do like the signing. Dante Fowler obviously had some time with the Rams when they were making a run, and the Jaguars, also a high pick. In 2019 with the Rams, he had 11.5 sacks, so he's definitely proven that he can have high sack numbers. And I just love the depth at edge rusher now, especially because coming in, our best edge rusher was Casey Tuhill. Not Chase Young. Chase Young is still on the market, but Casey Tuhill was arguably our best edge rusher on the team. And I just love the depth with Dorrance Armstrong, Dante Fowler, and Cleveland Farrell, assuming that's probably going to be the depth chart order. And they could still draft an edge rusher in the draft. So I love the edge rusher room now from hating it. Obviously, how could you like it? We had a lot of backups on our roster, and now we have 2 starters and maybe 1 more on the way. 2 more, who knows? Who knows if they sign another one? Because I sure did not expect them to sign 10 people by day 2. The last one that they signed, or last player that they signed, was Jeremy Chinn, safety from Carolina. The Carolina Panthers. His deal is 1 year deal worth up to $5.1 million. His rookie year was in 2020, where he had his best year in the league. He had 117 combined tackles with 1 sack and 1 interception. So he's not a true ball hawk safety, but he's a hard hitter. And he's always around the ball, causing havoc and making a lot of tackles. Obviously, in his rookie year, he had 117, which is unheard of for a safety, especially where he was taken in the draft. So in 2021, he had 107. 2022, he had 70. And 2023, he had 30 tackles. So it's gone down from his rookie year. And I don't know if he was injured. Also, every year, if you guys want to know, he had one sack. And in 2021, he had an interception as well. I don't know if injuries have played a part or in 2022 or 2023, because it took a major dip from 70 to 30 from 107 the previous year. But whenever I watch Jeremy Chinn, I've been very impressed. I know that a lot of Panthers fans liked him. I've seen a lot of them tweet about that. Like, that's going to be a really underrated signing in the NFL, but the Commanders got a steal for $5.1 million. So, and I agree, like, I would watch Jeremy Chinn play and I would be very impressed. I'm like, damn, like, he's a good player, especially for how young he is. He is 26 years old, so I think it's a great signing, another one of my favorites that have been signed so far. And then just last one, because the last player that they signed was Tyler Ott, long snapper from Seattle. I don't know anything about him. I've never even heard of his name before. I probably should, but the special teams coach that we got from Seattle, obviously he's going to bring him over. He got a 3-year deal. The money's unexcused, but the reason why I bring him up, obviously, one, we signed him, but Cameron Cheeseman, who Ron Rivera drafted very high for a long snapper, is no longer on the team, and to have long snapper issues is probably a reason why you are no longer the coach in Washington. But so he's signed a 3-year deal, so hopefully we don't have to have any bad snaps in preseason or in practice here about how bad our long snapper is, and Ron Rivera just decides to keep him out there and he'll get it done on his own. So yeah, that was the last signing I want to go over, because they haven't made any other moves. But I'm gonna have a podcast on Friday, and I'm gonna have a special guest. I cannot wait to do it, and I can't wait you guys to hear it. I think you guys are gonna love who is coming on, because I sure as hell do. I love the work he does, and it's gonna be a good podcast. So thank you guys so much for listening, and make sure to follow my socials on Twitter @CommandFan. I love Twitter. Please go follow me on that. I love interacting with you guys and tweeting out, and you guys commenting and all that. On Instagram, @CommandFan, then my personal @TateCEdwards on Instagram as well. But yeah, so let me guys know, leave me a review, please subscribe and follow the podcast and share with your friends, and let me know what you guys think of these signings so far, which one's your favorite, which one do you not like, all that kind of stuff on Twitter or Instagram. So yeah, thank you guys again for listening, and hail to the Commanders.